Today we're going to continue our study on probably the hardest things that we do as Christians. The hardest things we do as Christians for us to do is to witness. Witnessing is very important in our lives, but yet because of fear, because of whatever reason or excuse we might make, we don't do it like we should. We don't do it as often, as much as we should. But God encourages us in His Word to do it. We want to encourage you today, hopefully, and we might be active in that. Anybody had a good experience this week in trying to talk to somebody about the Lord? Anybody? Anybody anywhere? Yes, sir, Brother George.
I've had three good experiences this week. Since last Saturday, not yesterday, but Saturday was a week ago, I invited a couple over to my house, a brother and sister. I had the opportunity to talk with them about their life and how they need to set their life in action, you know, living for the Lord. And told them they needed to get in a good Bible-believing church and get Christ in their heart. And the young lady comes telling me that, you know, that she didn't need to go to church. She could go to heaven. She read the Bible. She prayed, and she done all these things. And I listened to her thoroughly. And she had a good theory there and a good debate. But she kept on and on and on. And I told her, I said, well, everything you said is right. I said, according to my scripture, the thief on the cross went to heaven, but he never went to church. I said, that's the way I take it, because he told Christ to remember him when he came into paradise. But I told her, I said, you can go to heaven without going to church. I said, but it's about like taking your car and never go to the filling station to fill it up with gas. If you don't do that, you're going to tote a lot of gas. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's so much easier to go to church and get under the live action of the gospel of Jesus Christ that the preacher preaches, Sunday school teaches. I said, then you gain strength from your fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, and you give them strength. Yes. And she listened. She says, I may see you in church sometime. Amen. I said, I'd be glad for you to come sit with me in church. Amen. Then on Monday, I went to a store and was talking to a young man. And I simply asked him, I said, where you go to church at? He says, I don't go to church now. I used to go to a church in Clayton. He said, but I'm so confused. He said, my daddy died when I was young. He said, and according to the way I see it, he probably went to hell. He said, but he was a good man. He was good to my mama, good to me. But he done some of these other things. And he named them out. And, you know, you have to stop and think when people tell you these things, because you need to give them the proper answer. And the Lord knows I can't do it unless God lead me. But I told him, I said, young man, I said, you can't worry about the past and the begones. You got to worry about from here forward. You can't get your dad into heaven or out of hell or wherever. And God didn't send him there or nobody else. We choose those destinies. I said, so you need to choose your destiny. You need to get back in church and put your faith in God. Put God in your heart and make a good life for yourself, and you'll find it more a benefit to you than you can ever imagine. Mm-hmm. So we had a wonderful talk, and the young man listened to me. He told me, he thanked me for talking to him and all that, and it's just a wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. Then Monday night, I was sitting at the house, and my doorbell rang. Rushed up and went to the door, and a young lady standing there, she says, she was looking at my brother's house. Mm-hmm. And I was telling her how to get there home. And while we were talking, I don't know why, but I asked, I said, where you go to church at? She says, I don't go to church. Mm-hmm. Said, my daddy told me he sent me to college to learn to be an atheist. Mm-hmm. She said, but I'm not an atheist. I believe in God, but I don't believe in developed worship, you know, like I forgot the words she used. But anyway, I said, young lady, you need to read people's books. She looked at me as to say, I don't really believe in your book. I said, but you need to really believe in the book, or need to read the book. I said, you need to get Jesus Christ in your heart and soul. He will direct your life, and He'll put the things that you need, and He'll supply. And we all can be a testimony to He will do that. He does do that every day in our lives. But it's a wonderful challenge out there to witness a testimony as you've been teaching. So wonderful. But people, we are living in a disturbed world. People are really disturbed. They don't know which way to go. As the young lady told me on Saturday, she said, I've been to church. I've seen people sitting in the church that's leaders and deacons and this and that and other in church. And when they got saved, nothing changed about their life except their Sunday life. They go to the same places on Saturday night and this and that and other. So Christian people are disturbing those that are lost to the extent that they don't know what they want. So then, therefore, as you're teaching us, we need to make it a habit every day. Simply ask somebody, why you go to church? That'll start your conversation. And it'll lead you right into what you want to. And you see plenty of people on the street and in the workplace, in the shopping places that you come in contact with that gives you the wonderful opportunity to be a witness. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother George. Amen. God opens the door. He really does, I'll tell you. I was here this week, and we saw a young guy walking up here at the Sheraton, walking around the back of the building, and someone said, Brother Keith, you need to go see who that is. I went up there, and it was a guy just casually coming through, and I had an opportunity to talk to him. I mean, you know, God brings people here. Sometimes they're lost, and we need to talk to them. And I had a good conversation with him, and hope he'll be here one day. He said he was going to try to come on Sunday. I don't know. You know, I've had a lot of that. I'm going to go one Sunday. But nevertheless, you know, be aware of every opportunity you have to talk to somebody about Jesus. And, you know, because they need the Lord. They need the Lord. People need the Lord today more than anything in this world. And I'm glad that God gives us the opportunity today. Turn to Matthew chapter 4 again. We'll read one verse as we review a little bit. And then we're going to get into something a little bit different this morning, continuing our studying on witnessing. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about how important it is to witness. It's very important. It's important because it's the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us in Matthew chapter 28 that we're to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every creature. It's important because he commanded it. It's important because the condition of the unsaved. Unsaved people are... have no purpose in life, they have no goal, they have no peace, they have no joy in their lives because they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. He's the only one that can fill that void that's in the life of all of us people here today. It's also important because of the sin of silence. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. We're indebted, folks. If we're saved, we're indebted to tell others about Jesus Christ. They need to know. And the only way they're going to know is for us to tell them. And we need to be busy doing that. We see in the book of Romans, chapter number 10, how are they going to call unless they believe? How are they going to believe unless they hear? How are they going to hear unless we witness? They won't. We have to witness. So may the Lord encourage us and help us along these lines today as we think about witnessing and how important it is. And may God give us an opportunity this week. Matthew chapter 4. Look, again, we read this last week, but I want to read one verse in this passage. We talked last week on how to be a witness. Not how to witness, but how to be a witness. There's things in our life we need to recognize in order to be a witness ourselves. And we talked about that last week. Look at verse number 19. Matthew 4, verse 19. Jesus speaking to Peter and Andrew, he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the precious word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that have been given today about the opportunities to talk to people about you. Father, I pray now, Lord, may the Holy Spirit, Lord, give us wisdom, give us understanding, give us encouragement this day. Lord, as we continue to focus upon this subject of witnessing, Lord, we all need to do more. And God, we know sometimes we're fearful, we hesitate because we don't know how the people are going to respond to us. Oh God, I pray you'd help us as your children, Lord. Lord, to be what we ought to be and trust in you. May the Holy Spirit that's within us give us the power and the liberty and the words to say to people that we are confronting with, Lord, people that you put in our path, Lord, we know there's a reason for that. Lord, I just pray you'd help us now as we look into your word again today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now Jesus said to Peter and to Andrew, follow me. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. Who in the world is a fisher of men? People that follow Jesus, okay? But what does that encounter? What is that talking about? It's simply to help others know God. You know, we have the opportunity, folks, as children of God, to help other people know how to know God, to meet God. And of course, we know the only way to know God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. We offer Him to people by putting their faith and their trust in them. Well, we have the opportunity to help people know God. Look at it that way, folks. How many people do you know in your life, you encounter probably, that don't know God? Most people don't. By the way they live, by the way they act, the things they do, it's obvious that they don't know God. If they know God, they don't love God, they're not serving God, living for God. So we see here, he says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Notice also the words, I will make you. Jesus said that to Peter and Andrew, I will make you fishers of men. Soul winners are made. Soul winners are not born. Okay? It takes three things we talked about last week. It takes teaching, it takes training, and it takes motivation. All three to become a soul winner. And all those three things are brought forth by the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us. We said last week, Jesus is not on this earth. He's not physically with us to motivate us, to teach us, or to train us. But when he left, we talked about last week, he promised who? The Comforter that would be within us, be in us, and he will teach us, he's going to train us, he's going to motivate us if we read the Word of God, study the Word of God, and have a desire to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see these things are nice. Jesus took 3 years in his life to train his disciples to be soul winners. It takes training. It takes teaching. The best training is experience. Go out there and do it yourself. Go out there with somebody else, you know. Doing is the best way to learn something. You don't learn something by just watching somebody else do it. You have to do it yourself, you know. And that's what we need to be doing. Learning how to talk to people. As we all drop the ball sometimes, we all don't know what to say sometimes. But you know, the next time you're confronted with that, God the Spirit will show you how and what to say. You know, if we put forth the effort the first time. You know, when you were a baby and started crawling on your knees and getting around, when you started walking, you didn't get up, walk the first time and not fall, did you? No, we all failed a lot of times. Same thing when you tried to ride a bicycle, you failed a few times, didn't you? Anything you try new in your life, you're going to fall sometimes. But don't stay down, get up and keep on going. And it's the same thing about soul winning. We as believers, we must realize that we are a team with the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Without Him, first of all, we're not saved. Secondly, we could not be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ because He gives us power, He gives us wisdom, He gives us what to say when we go out to witness. On the day of Pentecost, we see the 120 people, they received power to witness. And what did they do? They went out and witnessed to people. And because of that, thousands were saved because there were witnesses in the area scattered through all the cities around and therefore brought revival in that part of the country during Jesus' day. So again, we see we need to be witnesses. When we witness, we need to trust the Holy Spirit to do something to the unbeliever that we cannot do. Unbelievers are blinded, first of all. They're in darkness. And we need to trust the Holy Spirit to illuminate the mind, to make clear who they are, where they stand before God, and how they're lost and undone. I was talking this week with pastors up at during our share-a-thon, I asked one guy, I said, let me ask you something. How y'all find, y'all see many people saved this day and time? He said, no, we're not, Brother Keith. He said, I see some people once in a while saved at the nursing home, rest home. He said, I had a funeral a few weeks ago, and I preached the funeral, and we saw 5 people saved during the funeral. I said, praise God for that, amen. And he said, but far as going door to door, he says, nobody's lost. Nobody's lost. And it's, you know, that's the way it is in the day in which we live. But you know, I'm amazed too that whenever you go to a home and you find somebody that's downtrodden, somebody's in trouble, somebody's afflicted somehow, somebody has a big need in their life, at least they'll sit and listen to you. They'll sit and listen to you. But people today are so blessed in the country in which we live, they want to know what they can do for you when you visit them. Literally, they do. They don't have any need in their life. They can't see the need. They're blinded by Satan, folks. They need the Holy Spirit to convict them and to illumine their minds to see their need for Christ. And He's the only one that can do it. And we need to be praying as we all go out and try to talk to people where we go, that God would do that through the Spirit of God. Because we can't change their mind. Nobody could change my mind before I got saved. It took the Holy Spirit to convict me, to illumine my mind and help me understand I was lost. And when I finally realized I was lost and I needed to be saved, then I stepped forward and got saved. But until that happens, nobody will get saved. They have to get lost first. But it takes the Spirit of God to illuminate the minds of people, unbelievers, because they're in darkness. All souls are in spiritual darkness today. Also, we have to trust the Holy Spirit to stir the hearts of unbelievers. Unbelievers, their hearts need to be stirred. They need to be shaken up. They need to be aware of what's going to happen if they don't get saved. They're not conscious of hell. They don't realize the alternative without Christ. There's no hope. There's an eternity in the lake of fire forever. Forever and forever. We need to ask the Spirit of God to stir the hearts of unbelievers. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, Peter says, when the word of God was preached, they were pricked in their hearts. There was something moving in their hearts. There was conviction in their hearts. Thank God for conviction, folks. Thank God that He convicted me one day. Many days, really, He did. But thank God one day He did and I got saved. We need some Holy Ghost conviction today in the hearts and lives of people that come to God's house. And we need to be praying for that, folks. Listen, words just can't do that. It has to be the Holy Spirit of God that does that. Whenever the preacher preaches, we teach whatever's going on. The songs are sung. I mean, God uses songs sometimes to convince people. We played a song this week, Mr. Busman. I don't know if any of you heard that or not. Boy, that song brought conviction to my heart. We need to be out there knocking on doors and getting people to church and Sunday school, folks. Listen, time's running out, and I'm afraid we're just sitting back in a sleep or something, not aware of what's taking place and how close our time is running out. It's running out, folks. So we need the Holy Spirit to stir the hearts, and we need the Holy Spirit to move the will of people. Turn your Bibles and turn back now to Luke chapter 15. A very familiar story. Luke chapter 15, to move the will of the unbeliever. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a strong will. Do you? A strong will. If my mind gets set on something, leave me alone, okay? But you know, we all, sometimes our wills need to be moved. Our wills need to be changed, you know? And we see this here in this book in chapter 15 of Luke. You know the story of the prodigal son here. You won't read all the text here. But we know that he was born in a family that had a lot. But yet he became rebellious to his environment. He became very impatient. He was tired of rules and regulations. He was tired of somebody telling him what to do, what not to do. So what did he do? He wanted to get out on his own, become free. Become free. And you know, that's what people in the world are looking for, freedom. They're looking for freedom. But they're under bondage. They're under bondage. They don't even realize it. They're under the bondage of sin. Sin brings bondage in our life. But Jesus, the Bible says to know the truth, we know the truth makes us free. We're free then. We're free from the bondage of sin, from the destruction of sin also. But we see here in this text here, in Luke chapter 15, I want to read verse number 17. Verse number 17, 18 and 19. Here is a man, young man, that left home. He got his inheritance, he went out into the cities, and he spent all he had. He spent all he had. He wasted all his substance that he got. And when he got to the end of himself, so to speak, he got to the end of himself, we see that something took place in his life. Verse 17 says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants of my father's fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He began to reflect back on home life. You know, he left. Don't know how long it took him to spend all he had, but it, nevertheless, he began to look back home and what was taking place there. There I had plenty of food. My father's servants had plenty. And now here I am out here hungry, perishing, because I left the place that was supposedly so dear to me. He left that, you see. We see here, he thought of his father's goodness. He knew if he was back home, his needs were going to be met. He would not be hungry. He would not do without things that he needed. He thought about his father's goodness at this time. The wheel was beginning to be broken, folks. The wheel. His wheel was what? To leave home. To go out on his own, do what he wanted to do. And now he'd gone out there and been out there for a while, and his wheel has been broken now. His wheel has been moved, changed now, because of conviction in his heart, reflecting back to what he had before he came to where he was, what he had. We also see not only what he thought about his father's goodness, but look at verse number 18. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He says, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hard servants. Not only did he see his father's goodness, but he also thought about his father's grace, the grace of his father. He knew that his father loved him in spite of the fact he left him. He got his inheritance, he left him, and he'd gone out and spent it all. He still knew that his father loved him. You know, I'm so glad that God loves us in spite of us. No matter who we are, how down deep we are in sin, what a sorry rascals we are, God still loves us. God the Father loves us. We see here in this event here how the will of this man was moved. His will was moved. He changed his heart. He changed his mind. I will rise and go to my father. I'm going back where I should be. I should have never left. So we see here what the Holy Spirit does to unbelievers for us if we'll pray and ask him to. He illuminates the mind. He stirs the hearts. He breaks that wheel, moves that wheel of those people that we witness to. And what a joy it is, folks, to go out visiting and talk to people and realize God's present with you, and God read the Word of God to people, and God the Word comes through the hearts of these people and convicts them, gives them understanding, and you see by faith them trusting Christ as their personal Savior. Listen, there's not a greater joy in the world to see a sinner get on their knees and ask Jesus Christ to come in their heart and save them. There's nothing, folks, that beats that in our lives. We're really missing the most important thing in the world that we could be doing, the most joyful thing we could do in our life is see somebody get saved. God help us, folks, to be a witness. I said a while ago, we must realize that you or me and the Holy Spirit that is within us are a team. We can't do it without him. And we had to beg him, we had to ask him to lead us, to show us what to say and where to go. No matter when we go out to witness, you see. But we see here, this is things we talked about last week. Now, this morning, I want us to continue. This thing's about soul winners. Soul winners. What is so great about being a soul winner? Well, number one, you're rescuing people from hell. I don't have anybody in my life that I know or don't know that I come in contact with that I want to see go to hell. Do you? Nobody. I don't see nobody go to hell. But we know last week we read in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. And he that winneth souls is what? Wise. When we look at soul winners, we see a person that displays wisdom. Wisdom. A soul winner is somebody that's wise. Somebody that has concern and compassion for people. They realize that more important than anything in this world is for people to trust Christ as their Savior. If I could offer somebody out there that's lost $1 million, or I could offer them the plan of salvation, I'd be a fool to give them $1 million. Because that $1 million would drive them further from God. But hopefully the Word of God, anointed by the Spirit of God, will help them to see they need Christ and get saved. Because that's more valuable. Soul winners are display wisdom. Wisdom. I never forget, many years ago, I ran into a man. Well, I was in a church then, and a man was a missionary to France, to Spain. He was in that church, and they had like a mission conference. And at that time, I was not married. I was living by myself. And he wanted me to come with him. I asked him, they told me about going out visiting the next day, and they were asking if anybody wanted to volunteer to go. And of course, I did. I volunteered to go. And I went with this missionary out visiting. And I say this before you, before God, I have never seen a man that loved God so much in my life. You could tell by everywhere he went. I'm not talking about just door to door. He goes to a restaurant to eat, to go get gas, it don't matter where he's at. He's talking to people about the Lord. He's always talking to people about the Lord. He's a wise man because he knows their destiny. He knows without Christ, they have no hope and they're going to die and go to hell. Soul winners are wise, folks. I want to be wise, don't you? I do, and I know you do. And may God help us as individuals, especially as children of God, to realize that soul winners are wise people. I like to be around wise people, don't you? I like to be around soul winners. I really do, because they're encouraging. They're encouraging the Lord. They really will. Soul winners are wise. Because the Bible says, he that wins his souls is wise. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Something else about soul winners. 1 Thessalonians. And chapter, let's see, I can't even find it in my Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 2. Something else about soul winners. Look at verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or what? Crown of what? Rejoicing. Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Soul winners receive a crown. What is that crown? A crown of what? Rejoicing. A crown of rejoicing. The Bible speaks of 5 different crowns. But we see here that a soul winner, there's the incorruptible crown, there's a crown of righteousness, there's a crown of life, there's a crown of glory, and then there's a crown of rejoicing. Soul winners receive that crown when they get to heaven. The crown of rejoicing. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Won't it be wonderful, I should say, when you get to heaven and you get there and the church is wrapped and we all get to heaven and somebody that you led to Christ on this earth comes running up to you and says, thank you. Thank you for talking to me about the Lord. Boy. All about you, that brings rejoicing to my soul. But you know what? If we don't rejoice in this life, we will have less rejoicing there in the fact of winning people to Christ, folks. It's a joy, it's rejoicing to lead a person to Christ here. But can you imagine the joy it's going to bring when you get to heaven and you see them and they see you? My, folks, we have a lot to look forward to. But we need to be busy here trying to reach people for Christ. The crown of rejoicing. Soul winners are wise. Soul winners receive a crown, a crown of rejoicing one day when we get to heaven. Also, turn to 1 Corinthians, please. Talking about soul winners right now. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, Paul says, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Paul says, for though I've been free, I'll be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might again, I might gain the Jews to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Paul says, I become all things to all men, that I might gain some. Paul was willing to witness to anybody, folks. Listen to what he's saying. Anybody. He was willing to witness to. He was willing to sacrifice his own rights and his own privileges to talk to people about the Lord. We have to learn to sacrifice too. Things in our life. What we want to do, our privileges and our rights. As a soul winner, our soul winner will. He will sacrifice. And it's worth everything that we do, no matter what it is. We see something else about it, a soul winner. Turn in your Bible to the book of Jude. By Revelations. Jude. Only one chapter. Look at verse 22 and verse 23. Jude, verse 22 and verse 23. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear. Notice, pulling them out of the what? Fire. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Soul winners are literally snatching people from burning. From burning. You know what it is to burn? Have you ever burnt your finger? I got two marks right there on my fingers now. I burnt right there. It was painful at the time. But I can't imagine in a lake of fire, brothers, sisters. I can't imagine that. It's an awful place. Soul winners are snatching people from burning. Soul winners are wise. Soul winners will receive a crown of rejoicing when they get to heaven. Soul winners will sacrifice their own personal rights and their own privileges in this world. And soul winners will snatch people from burning. Snatch people from burning. May the Lord help us today to realize how important it is to witness to people. Soul winners are wise. I want to be a wise Christian, don't you? I want to do what the Lord wants me to do, and He's commanded us to be witnesses to everybody. And I pray today that we'll be mindful of this and aware of the very fact of our responsibility as God's children. Whenever we witness, first of all, there must be the working of the Holy Spirit through us. And God, through the Holy Spirit working through us, there's going to be the manifestation of two things, God's presence and God's power. And when God's presence is evidence and God's power is evidence and the Holy Spirit is working, chances are that person might be saved. That person might be saved. But if the Holy Spirit's not doing the work and God's presence and power is not available, not present, sometimes it doesn't happen. But we're not going to stop. We're just going to keep on praying and ask God to help us and God to empower us with His Spirit and give us the power we need to be a witness. Now, I want to close today by taking your Bibles and turning to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, I want to read a few verses here. We're going to talk about this next week. Our time's about out for this today. First Peter chapter 3. We'll read a few verses here in closing. First Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 10. It says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain from his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile," that is deceit. "Let him eschew," that is fear, or stay from, get away from, "evil, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it," that's father it. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you?" Notice, "if you be followers of that which is good." Who's going to harm us if we do what is good? Notice he says, "but, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake," what's the next word? "Happy are ye." If you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their what? Terror, neither there be troubled. Neither be troubled. But, it says in verse 15, "sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you." How? "With meekness and fear." With meekness and fear. If someone was to ask you, "Are you a Christian?" How would you respond? Would you say, "Yes, I am," and that's it? Or would you be willing and able to share with them how you become a Christian and how you're thankful that you are a Christian? Would you be able to share with you the reason for the hope that is in you? The reason for the hope that you have one day going to heaven. We're going to talk about that next week. Having an answer, qualification of a witness. Who qualifies to be a witness? We talked about how to be a witness. Now we're going next Sunday to talk about the qualification of a witness. The qualification of a witness. Having an answer for the person that asks you, "Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian?" What would you tell them? How would you answer their questions? God wants us to be ready, folks. He wants us to be ready to tell, ready to share. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Dear God, thank you for the Word of God that instructs us in our lives how we're to live and how we're to serve you daily. Father, help us, Lord, to be a witness this week. Lord, I pray you give us an opportunity. May you fill us with your power and your spirit that we might have the words to say, Lord, to share with people of your grace and your goodness to them as well as to us. Father, bless your people this week. Give us all a good week. God, help us now as we go to the next service. May your will be done in the singing and the preaching of the Word of God. Give our pastor the wisdom he needs and power and liberty to preach what you've laid on his heart today to share with us. Help us to have hearts to receive. God, maybe we'll be a better Christian. We will leave here today than when we came. May we have a desire to witness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.